The clouds twisted as they spun into themselves. Not because of any sort of wind, but guided only by an unruly chaos that works against any kind of logic or reason. It's almost pretty how it looks, playing against the orange sky of the eternal dusk. How would any of this become normal? Most days I'm not sure I can remember what a normal sky is supposed to look like. It's been far too long. I still know for sure clouds can't move in the distorted way that they do here. That feeling. It's been so intense lately. It's hard to explain in any coherent way that doesn't sound stupid. But it's here again, not in a physical sense, more like a pressure inside the skull. It does a wonderful job leaving you feeling on edge or reaching something terrible, but never quite there. It has literally started to make sleep an increasingly rare occurrence, mainly because you're too busy feeling your skin is going to crawl away. Forces you to always have your eyes on it. I know it doesn't make any sense, but it's just a feeling you can't shake. Like, I'm not blind to how stuff works. I know nothing would likely happen if I took my eyes off it. But this place just gets in your head. You only realize you're acting crazy when you're 3 hours deep into stupid stuff that doesn't even matter. Even after being here for so long, I still haven't found a way to deal with my brain working against me. I keep ignoring this. A red mess of gore and bone sprayed against the stone and flora of the courtyard. You shouldn't be that surprised. I mean, by now, I'd like to think that I'm ready to deal with this. Not like it's a new occurrence. It's out in the open this time. It'd be impressive if it wasn't so off-putting. Put it lightly. You get a view of the courtyard from most of the bedrooms. It's in the center of the living quarters, nothing more than a small garden and meeting area. Mundane, completely normal in function. The most exciting thing that's ever occurred here was the time someone tried to stomp out all the plants. Only to have one go back to its former glory the second no one was around to keep their eye on it. The whole resetting thing wasn't limited to just flowers either. Only thing exempt seems to be these murder scenes. A wonderful mess that just gets to stay for the world to enjoy. I can't help but think of it as a child's drawing on a fridge, an invisible formless horror that's so proud of its messed up art that it feels everyone needs to enjoy it. At least it can be cleaned up. Thankfully, it doesn't return to its disgusting glory. I'm sure we could have left them sprawled out on the floor. Normal illnesses don't seem to apply. No signs of animal life. No risk of infection or anything of the sort. Keeping it clean, that always felt the best way of rebelling against its shitty taste in art. I'd be trapped, but sometimes just trying to fight it, even in a tiny way, helps. Plus adding a dash of gore to everyday life when you're already serving a forced prison sentence. It was as disrespectful to the dead as it was hard to stomach. That's ignoring the problem the smell leaves, too. Since that wonderful feature is always present, never seemed like it was from rotting. But something created is just another layer to the unwanted experience. So we clean up those remains and get to pretend things are okay and the fight was fought. There were originally around 25 or so people in here. Now whittled down to 6. Five now. Not that there were much in terms of identifiable pieces amongst the gore before me. Occasional larger chunk here and there, sure. Most of it was just cut or broken into smaller bits. No idea who this used to be. Even if I'm used to it by now, my mind still dipped into a haze after staring closely at all of that red for too long. That part of things always made me feel weak. How long has it all been? There isn't a way to keep track of time. Watches have all stopped, no one has their phones, the skies never change aside from the whole mess. That is the ever-moving clouds. I can say it feels like months, but even that doesn't feel right. Imprisonment or death, I'm not even sure what is better anymore. Doesn't mean I want to deal with the aftermath of the latter. But when there's no end in sight, even the idea of this garbage kind of release could become appealing. It's like a tiny bit of proof that at least something can be changed. At least there's a refreshing aspect to that side of things. Attempts to escape have always ended the same. Trust me, I put in the work. Pick your flavor of suicide, and just as death almost creeps in, bang. in the blink of an eye, it's just back in her room, like everything is perfectly fine. Well, aside from a wonderful invisible guest, that whole ever-present thing gets closer than ever. It seems to hate an attempted escape more than anything, so it gives you a little gift. Poison unlike any other. Guts filled with that now all-too-familiar black liquid. Littered with fun bits of tiny, almost bone-like flesh. No way out of what's going to happen. Just forces its way up and out the throat, cutting the whole way. A cocktail that tastes of pure sewage, metal, and vinegar. The dash of searing pain refining the dish into a buffet of glorious shit. Oh, it lasts hours. By the end of it, all death seems like nothing, so... I mean, at least being dead wouldn't leave you with the internal wounds washed in acid. Oh, and don't think that passing out during it would help. Whatever asshole rules here insists that you suffer every second of it. Not even exhaustion gets you a way out. Just continues over and over until whatever feels justice has been served. Then you're just left crying on the floor, alone. I pick up the pieces and try to move on. It's another thing to add to the pile of reasons staying dead can start to seem like a dream come true. The dead found their way out. And all it costs is becoming a madman's artistic medium of choice. Sounds of footsteps knock me out of my thoughts, and I finally notice that someone other than me was here. A human in shape and movement, but the impression he left was anything but. To say he was intimidating was an understatement. He has this whole thing going on. Always wears this heavy-looking mask straight out of some horror movie, except he never actually does anything. Honestly, I don't think he's even said his name at any point. The times I gave up caring completely and attempted to talk to him, it was strained, to say the least. Quick answers, distant, here physically, sure, but seemed to have his mind off somewhere else. When combined with his habit of being a hermit, no one knew shit about him. Only one thing was consistent about him. When the scenery was painted in human remains, he'd be there, examining every aspect while writing at seemingly great lengths in a tiny black journal. Not covered in blood, as you'd expect, just there recording notes. I'd say maybe he was into it, but there's always that layer of stress to his posture doing it. Not the expected enjoyment of some fucked up deviant. Let's be honest. Clearly, that guy is playing some part in all of this. Of the few times I'd seen him, half of them ended in someone either wanting to fight him or actually doing so. Not me. I mean, if he's got a way to kill people in his pocket at this point, sign me up. But some people aren't so willing to accept that kind of thing. Or just never got tired. Still, somehow, finding a way to hope for an answer or reason for all this. The masked man never even makes an attempt to calm or even react to the growing paranoia. Doing nothing almost feels like the worst possible way anyone could respond to that kind of situation. So when emotions get heated naturally, it grew to the level where fights broke out. And oh, how they always ended up at the same outcome. The masked man would do a whole lot of nothing and just took the hits. At least until the risk of actual injuries would force him to fight back. Only by that point, it was too late to stop. The horrible mistake was already made. He'd never actually lay a single finger on anyone, just had some invisible force throw them across the room. Only thing I've ever been able to notice is his eyes have this strange red glow to them afterwards. It's about the only thing you can see through the eyes of that mask. It's stupid. It sounds like magic. And somehow, when compared to everything else he does, it seems normal. At least, that's something you'd expect out of a guy cosplaying as some low-tier villain. 85% of the time, worst thing he does is scare the shit out of me when I turn a corner and he happens to be there. It's only when provoked he gets close to revealing his hand, like he's actually fully there, then. It's just the moment when he stops. After those impossible things, he just stands there looking at what's going on around him. The closest thing I can relate it to is when you break someone's autopilot during work. That moment of slight confusion while they try and get a handle on the change in a situation that normally never does. Even after all that junk, he'd never stop to explain what just happened. Most you'd hear him sigh, before leaving everyone to stare at him, mouth agape. It was just as concerning as it was reassuring. Him existing proved, without a doubt, that some weird shit was at work here. The sky, the black bile, all the strings are being pulled by something far greater. It wasn't much, but it was something concrete to prove that this place was beyond fucked up. But it just makes you ask, what was the point of all this? I can't, for the life of me, remember what led up to waking up here. It always felt like it was by design. So if whatever controls reality here, why would it let us remember the stuff he pulls? It just doesn't line up with the complete silence and lack of answers everything else on the island provided. I mean, I really wish I could blame him for the massive pile of bodies. It would offer at least a little comfort, but something about this all made it feel impossible to believe it was that simple. Not because he didn't seem capable of it. He'd already made that whole thing very clear without a single word. It was just no reason for him to be subtle. Not after he'd already made it clear that he had some sort of power. These scenes, they just never leave any witnesses. What motive would he have for hiding that he was a murderer, if that was the case? We already know he isn't normal in any sense of the word. Hell, for all we know, our invisible host was just making it happen with magic or something. There even being an actual physical killer just offered up the dream that maybe it could be stopped. Without fully realizing entering my thoughts, my legs had taken me to the bench furthest from the remains. It was close to one of the four doors that led back to the living waters.
Sorry.
His voice snapped me back to reality. I lifted my head to find the masked man a few feet away staring directly at me. It was the first time I had witnessed him even attempt to start a conversation. What?
The remains. They belong likely to a female. 5 foot tall, perhaps a little more. A thinner build.
Thoughts were delayed. I stared at him blankly as my mind attempted to play catch-up. There were several questions, but for some reason I found myself ignoring what he was trying to say to me. How do you even know? It's just a pile of meat. There's nothing identifiable. He shifts his weight, rests his hands in the pockets of his jacket. He took some time to look me over slowly before breaking the silence and, for some reason, deciding to answer.
I am a doctor of sorts, and the dead share many things in common. The brutality, while seemingly random, still holds some information. There are sections of bone large enough that give a sense of the scale being dealt with. While the amount of tissue coating the area offers room to at least hypothesize the size and weight of the victim. An estimation, yes. I admit it lacks the desired and well-researched proof I wish I could offer. But, based on what's being presented before me, and what few living remain, I feel confident in at least apologizing if I am correct.
It didn't take long for me to finally follow what he was trying to say. I think he was trying to offer some sort of pity. But the way he spoke made it almost impossible to relate to any emotion. You're saying Jessica is dead? He nodded.
I do not know what the nature of the relationship you shared, but I have seen you together frequently. It seems as only fair to tell you. I understand how difficult it could be.
I think I laughed a little as tears fell. Again, he just looked at me, studying my movements. Son of a bitch likely wasn't just writing down notes about these murders. What else would he be doing when avoiding everything else around this place? Difficult. She tried to kill herself on 3 different occasions. That's only the ones I know of. Drove her mad that the marks never stayed. Nothing she did mattered. Just woke up to the vomit in her gut and nothing to show for it. Back to suffer all over and over again, all while she prayed to be the next one to end up like this. She was long gone already. All I was doing was trying to keep her mind off of how fucked up it is. At least that helped her feel normal. I hadn't seen him provide any actual proof at all. What reason was there for him to lie? He could have left me to find out this on my own, but he hadn't. Didn't care if he even responded after that. I just needed to be honest. For a bit. After all, any relationship here is just for our own sanity. I just have to keep telling myself that. I can't expect anything more after all the corpses. A hand resting suddenly on my shoulder brought me out of my head.
I know this has gone on far longer than it should have ever been allowed to. Yet, the moment for action had yet to arise. If I were to act rashly, I would be handling a symptom, and not cancer itself.
Removing his hand from my shoulder, he seemed somewhat awkward. The mask made it incredibly difficult to discern what he was thinking. Or even what emotion he was attempting to convey. A heavy silence followed as he tried to put together his next words.
The end is growing increasingly close. The memories lost upon entering this plane of existence. It has made identifying the residents here as real, or just delusions meant to misdirect my thoughts, incredibly difficult. Skills remain, and the mind remains sharp. But the critical moments before this place formed have been stolen from me.
I'm not sure if the masked man was just mad, or he had actually reached a level of understanding I could only dream of. It is almost over, and you wait until now to speak to anyone for longer than a few moments. So clearly you didn't consider anyone real. Why the change? Couldn't be sure if he lacked the words to explain himself, or if he delayed his words while he sorted out what he was able or willing to say. The longer this conversation went on, the worse he seemed, and even the most basic social skills. It was almost disappointing. His actions built up the image of somewhat horrifying monster thing, but here he was almost struggling with a conversation. Like his actual ability to speak was fine once he got going. A little emotionless, sure. It just took way longer than normal people to get going.
I have been watching this as the situation degraded. Things have slowly begun to change. The wider designs at work have become clear. In turn, your innocence has been proven, at least enough to earn the words. Take care around the others. They...
Before he could finish, the sound of one of the doors being harshly opened broke any hope of further conversation, drawing all attention away from what was being said.
Eric! Jesus, man, why are you just sitting here? Looked like you were talking to the freak show.
He pointed his left arm around haphazardly as he clenched a butter knife in the other, the residue of whatever he was just eating still left on the excuse for a blade. Kenneth's greatest feature wasn't his smarts, to say the least. His heart tended to be in the right place, he just wasn't good at fully working out what his plans were. He came up with a ton of them, sure, but thinking them through longer than the few seconds they took to form was far more difficult. It was at least entertaining to see what he would come up with next. But still, even with his issues, he was able to make it clear the masked man was gone. So what was even the plan? You gonna try to save me with just a butter knife?
Look, it was all I had on me. It was either put on a pair of pants or show up with a better weapon. And showing up presenting for the world to see might solve the problem on its own, in the mental warfare kind of way. It just didn't seem practical. Secondly, gross. I don't want any of this mess even remotely close to that kind of scene.
I don't even want to begin to pick apart what you were just doing. Ken had a spectacular habit of saying too much, while somehow too little at the same time, all with little to no respect for his current situation. When staring shit like this in the face, it didn't seem to get him anywhere. Even now, he had that stupid, sly grin plastered all over his face that just screamed he was doing exactly, or way worse, than whatever you were thinking. Never confirming it, just leaving you to wonder how the fuck the pieces of his life put together. Kenneth was the man who, in the attempts to figure out and break the rules of this place, found the answer in attempting to piss on everything. And when they garnered no results, his scope only grew more deprived, let's call it. The end result was no. That sort of thing does not stay. It being a biological function did not make it fit in the same category as human remains. And that alone is likely the single greatest gift ever been given here.
Jeez, this is a mess. So, hey, how about we get out of here? You haven't done breakfast yet, right? Should do that. Head to the beach, take it easy, get away from this crap.
Ken, look around. How can you even think about eating right now? The freak seemed to think this was Jess. Even if it's not, how the hell can you shake this kind of stuff like it's nothing?
It seems like it's only a matter of time before everyone dies. Could spend it crying and mourning over piles of meat, or take what time you've got and send a big old fuck you to the creeper behind the walls. I mean, if I'm already as good as dead, at the very least I want to make it as hard as possible for that thing to watch. Wasting time sobbing over skeletons is exactly what the vague evil god thing would want.
Again, I don't even want to know what you have going on during your free time. And Jesus, man, you used to know this pile of meat.
Look, I still think we should get out of here. If you're worried about insulting the dead, why don't we go do something about it? You and me, we go knock down the door to Freakshow's room. Clearly that dude knows way more than he lets on. So we grab a knife or two beforehand, we find out what he really knows, and maybe for once actually figure out what the hell is going on.
We don't even know if he's doing this.
So what? What's the worst he can do? Kill us? Oh wow, I'm so afraid. If he's not there, even if we kick down the door, it'll just go back to normal once we leave. No one will even know. It's not like it's the first time someone has tried.
Exactly. Why would this time be any different? He'll likely just not answer and keep the door shut himself.
Then we yell at him through the door as long as it takes. Eventually he'll get so annoyed he'll have to answer. After that, we just need to press him for everything he knows. Come on, it's a better plan than giving up, cleaning this mess up, and waiting to die. Oh, you could also try crying and asking yourself why you didn't go farther with that Jess chick.
Fuck off, it wasn't like that.
Yeah, you damaged good types need to stick together, I get it. But she's gone, and you aren't. So at least try and do something about it, man.
To say Ken wasn't always the best person was an understatement most of the time. His way of phrasing things wasn't always bad, but as things got worse, his ability to care slipped out the window and hasn't been seen since. Still, he's right. While shitty to leave someone like this, with so little time left, spending it on corpses isn't doing anyone any good, and from how much he insisted, even if I say no, he's still going to go with or without me. He was an asshole, yes, and his habit of talking about people when their remains weren't even cold was a good reason to tell him to fuck off. But if the masked man was willing to talk to me, clearly, he figured something out. Might even be willing to carry on our conversations, or at the very least, his room might have some answers. Fine, okay. Against my better judgment, I agreed. There was a quick stop to the kitchen to prepare for war, as Ken put it, meaning he grabbed a slightly sharper knife and forced me to do the same. After that, it was straight to the room. At first, Ken made a, let's call it, less than impressive attempt to kick the door. It seemed like he might have bent something wrong given the sound he made. The next attempts were using his entire body to charge the door. Just as he seemed almost ready to give up, he broke through. When he saw what was in the room, he was left frozen with his mouth agape.
What the fuck?
It was chaos. Paper littered the walls, the floor, the carpeting removed, and some kind of strange magic-looking circle was carved into the wood that rested beneath it. That symbol on the floor pulsed with a strange, soft blue light, filling the room with its glow. The best thing you could say about it was that the bed and desk remained in one piece, but even the desk seemed to have things carved into it. Before I could grasp what I was looking at, Kenneth spoke up.
No one was here. The room is like this, and no one was looking at it.
We stared at each other, trying to process the meaning of that. The confidence Ken normally had was completely missing from his face. It was strange to see him looking almost serious. I think he realized the other thing about this room. Not something that was here, but more something that wasn't. The room felt empty, that oppressive air, the itch on the back of your neck. It was missing. We were actually truly alone here. It was the first time since waking up here that I felt anything like that.
Eric, look. The map.
Kenneth led my eyes to the paper on the walls. It's crudely drawn, but it still managed to look like a map of the island. X's were drawn at random locations, but there didn't seem to be any rhyme or reason behind where they were. It was only after looking at the other notes posted on the wall that a clearer picture was finally put together. The notes read like an autopsy report. Each death seemed to have one, and was connected to one of the X's on the map. They were all here, except for Jessica's. Doesn't look like he's been here since I was talking to him.
What makes you say that?
The courtyard isn't marked on the map yet.
Jesus Christ, Eric. This guy is three steps away from keeping bloody fingernails in a jar for personal use. I knew it would be fucked up in here, but not flat-out Satan worshiper level.
The other notes on the wall, when unrelated to death, seemed to just be comments on who used to live here. It was while I was still reading that Ken suddenly ran out of the room. As I was starting to follow after him, I found myself suddenly stuck in place, held by something that wasn't there. The force lifted me into the air and slowly it pushed me back into the room. It was at least kind enough to place me softly on the bed, but that didn't help fight off the ever-growing dread. Still couldn't move by the time that masked man walked in, painted in red from head to toe with something gripped tightly in his hand. He closed the door, and we were left in the dark, the glow from the floor being the only light left. Terror seeped in. It was finally my end. This was it, after everything. I thought I'd be ready when it finally came. I'd played this moment in my head over and over, but still, why can't I shake the fear stuck in my gut? Fuck, figured it'd be easier than this. That's when the lights flicked on.
I will allow you move. Just please do not scream. It is only a matter of time before the one you were with realizes what has happened. We have so little time.
He seemed far more composed. As I was about to ask him why he did all of this, he suddenly placed what he had gripped so tightly on the desk. It was what you may loosely describe as a head. There were eyes and teeth and a nose, but it was anything but human. The skull seemed deformed, twisted, pulled to hard points that pierced the skin almost like horns. They seemed random in places, eyes and teeth left to fill any gaps and make even less sense. What wasn't bone or eyes was wrinkled leather-covered boils. It added a mixture of pus to the already unwanted blood seeping from the freshly removed skull. He sat at the desk, not even spending the effort to look back at me.
The first chain has been severed. Two more remain in this game.
What the fuck is that? He had taken out a small knife, and after examination of the skull, slowly began peeling skin off the neck, or whatever that thing is.
The one named Grant. Or more accurately, what he actually was beneath the mask. Some advice. Go back to your room. Do not leave it until I come for you, regardless of what sounds cry out in the air or what appears. I have ensured that it will be safe while I finish my work.
Safe? How can anything be safe? Look at yourself. Your hands currently rammed into a bloody neck of some... something. And you're trying to tell me the answer is to just go hide under my bed?
I have said nothing of hiding under furniture. It would be unnecessary, excluding perhaps the illusion of comfort it may offer.
Oh, fuck off. Even you have to know what I'm getting at here. What the fuck's going on, and who... or what are you?
Name is Sneckdraw.
A fake name. And on top of that, he was ignoring the rest of the questions. Fantastic. The door swung open. A soft push in my face forced me to look out at the hallway. I processed what I was seeing for a moment before I shot up to my feet and rushed to the door. The walls directly outside the door were cracking. They were darkened, covered in a mess of mold and God knows what. On the right, though, everything had remained untouched. I eyed the masked man who had moved on and was now ignoring me completely. From a quick glance, it seemed like he was drawing something on the desk with the blood that coated his fingers. It wasn't something I really wanted to look at much closer than I had to, so I made the choice to get a closer look at where the walls took their sudden change. It was like the darkness was spreading out like veins, crawling to fill out space, slowly rotting away anything around it. I took the knife Ken had insisted I grab and pressed the edge of it against the wall. Whatever this was seemed like it was underneath the paint, and it also had no interest at all in anything I did. Not to say I had a plan if it spread to the knife, but it was good to know. I still didn't want to risk touching it with bare skin, but it should at least be okay staying here for now. Of course, that didn't make understanding what was going on here any easier, but it seemed important to have a mental list of what will and won't kill me on contact. Suddenly the masked man yelled, breaking my thoughts.
This place will fall further apart as each chain is broken. The safety I have offered is the best choice if you wish to survive.
And just like that, the door to his room slammed shut. If he had killed Grant, then only Kenneth, Grace, him, and myself remain. I could only assume that he meant to kill the other two. It seemed like the only thing that he could mean by breaking chains. As I looked back at the door, I could hear what sounded like nails being slowly dragged across a chalkboard, reverberating from inside his room. Whatever he was doing was triggering some kind of response from the ruler of this place. The pressure radiating around the door was overwhelming. It was the worst in my skull. My teeth felt like they were being pulled to the left ever so slightly. Uncomfortable, but stepping away from the door seemed to lessen it. He did something to my room. Could almost laugh. My options were to trust a guy in a Halloween costume, or try and find the others and pray that he isn't right about them. Could have all been a trick. Fancy show to get me where he wanted. Give me a flash of a literal monster that could be blamed for everything. Everything he was doing right now could just be helping it. But why couldn't I feel anything in his room? Thinking about this hurt my head further. Should be used to the impossible. Even this is a little further off the rails than anything else that had happened. I made my choice. I wanted to at least see what he had done to my room. There wasn't that much time between when I'd seen him last. So he was able to kill Grant, head to my room, and make it back to stop me from following Kenneth? How could he have done so much in so little time? It was across from my room that I found the largest gap I'd seen in the wall yet, deeper than what seemed possible. I'll admit, it wasn't the smartest idea, but I needed to know everything I possibly could about what was happening. I had intended to just poke the knife into it to just see how deep it actually went. Last thing I expected to see was a soft resistance against it. Drawing the knife back, I realized it was coated with a blood-like substance. There's something behind the walls. Or more accurately, maybe it was the walls. Just as I worked up what exactly was going on, the liquid that coated the knife slowly dissolved and disappeared. Maybe this place was still fighting to correct itself, even after the growing rot. I shook my head trying to gather together a basic sense of logic. There wasn't any to be found, of course, but the motions helped me at least focus. Just like Snekdraw's room, a symbol had been drawn. Couldn't pin down why. Nevertheless, it was glowing all the same. I kicked a shoe off into the room first. My grand plan was to try to see if any traps would be triggered. When absolutely nothing happened, I took a breath and headed into the room, closing the door and locking it shut. As I reclaimed my shoe, I realized it was empty here as well, just like his room was. The thing on the floor must keep out unwanted eyes. Was this really my plan? Corner myself for anyone wanting my head on a platter, riding out on the end of the world and praying that during said event, the walls don't cave in.
Eric? Eric, are you okay?
Grace. She sounded so scared, weaker than I'd ever heard her sound. She always had a sense of pride about the way that she carried herself. The desperation in her voice, it didn't seem like the Grace I'd gotten to know. Then again, if Snekdraw was right, is there even a real Grace to begin with?
Eric, please tell me he didn't get to you. It's only Kenneth, you, and me left. And the masked freak.
Didn't answer her. I already saw whatever that beheaded thing was. He was right. She was one of them. It was just an attempt to get at me.
He killed Jessica. And Grant. Please, this has to stop.
What had started as just turning the doorknob in an attempt to open the door had grown into almost manic pounding on the door. I could hear her sobs through it all. Did I even know he hadn't killed Jess? I never even stopped to ask what he had been writing there. I'd lost focus on everything once I saw this mess of it all. He was doing all of this magic bullshit, but what was that thing's head? Could it have also just been another one of his tricks, something to throw me off, to turn me against Kenneth and Grace? The banging on the door slowly came to a stop and replaced by the sounds of her cries. It was somehow worse. Seconds turned into minutes, growing more and more uncomfortable. I really don't know who's right. I'm here.
Eric, you're alive! Are you okay? Are you okay?
My head just hurts a bit. I was just trying to sleep it off is all.
Can you open the door? Ken is off on a warpath looking for that freak and... Look, I just need to see someone. To make sure at least something is normal still.
What happened to Grant? After the mess.
Grant? No. He just took his head. Left the body for all of us to see at the front door. The monster is just playing with us now. Please don't leave me alone.
Can't trust her. If she had just said it was the same mess everyone else was, I might have actually opened the door. This place is suddenly starting to fall apart at the sudden change in methods. It lined up with what Snectra had taken. When calmed with that terrible feeling outside his door, it was clear he was doing something that he shouldn't, and whatever forces were at play weren't happy about it. Look, Grace, I'm a mess. Come back tomorrow. Jess's death? I already knew about that, and it hit hard. I need some time to process it. Sorry for using your death like this, Jess. It's just the only lie I can think of that might work. Grace didn't respond. I didn't hear her move, and the sound of her cries had completely stopped. It wasn't exactly the response I'd hoped for. This nothing was going on far too long. Before long, I could finally hear something. Bones cracking. Something moving around before hitting the floor with a violent thud. Suddenly, it was like she was bashing at the door with all of her weight. One, two, three, and by the fourth hit, there was nothing left but shards of wood and an open doorway. The second she broke through the door, she was flinging the lump of wrinkled skin and pointed bone that used to be her arm directly at me. The second time today that it felt like death was at my door, just as I was cursing my stupidity and shitty life choices, she stopped in place. The strange circle on the floor was glowing stronger than ever. It was doing something to keep her arm frozen in its tracks. Without missing a beat, it started to spread down her arm, working on consuming all of her now twisted meat and bone.
Stop it, Eric, please! This isn't me! He did this! Just help me!
Grace cried out, making sure to use that voice that I knew. The only thing that gave away that it even used to be her were her eyes, and the hair that fell over the thing that she had become. Or I guess the thing that she always was. Even though everything was wrong about what she was, I could still see that look, pleading to me, for me to help. It was a godsend when she finally lost the ability to cry out. It'd just be easier to leave now. Staying here like Snectra suggested wasn't feeling the safest, given what I was looking at. I couldn't help but think about how everyone else had to stare this down, mocked by what they used to know and left with this fucking thing staring them in the face in their final moments, led on by how she pretended to be. All of her weak and fragile act, I was so stupid for falling for it. And it was all so she could have me as another body on that fucking pot, just like everyone before me. This was the only chance I'd get. Hands were shaky, but I wasn't going to let this thing get away, not after what it took part in. I clenched the knife tightly and stabbed over and over, aiming for what I assumed was its neck. Madness, rage, every bit of resentment, I was going to take it all out on this thing, over and over. At some point, the light from the floor faded. And the monster fell over. Still, I cried, stabbed, screamed, demanding answers from a monster that was already clearly dead. I lost track of myself, consumed by the utter disgust that ripped away every inch of logic from my skull, not an ounce of dignity left in me. I didn't even think I would have stopped if not for the growing smell. It was far too rancid to go unnoticed, and it quickly became impossible to keep this up. It was a mixture of its blood and now pierced cysts that seemed to cause the odor. I was able to hold it together long enough to make it to the washroom, but my stomach quickly disagreed with its place in the world and rejected anything left inside of it. It was really only stomach acid, thankfully, a positive in skipping breakfast, I suppose. But the heaving lasted far longer than I'd like. It didn't seem possible that the 5'7 woman that used to be Grace was now that massive thing. Mind kept playing over what I had just faced while I dealt with the weakness clawing its way out of my stomach. Her skin was like what I had imagined a tumor would feel like, and covered in those throbbing red boils. The hint of something normal twisted into something terrible. Bones grew out from under the skin, unbound by any sense of logic or thought, different from the head Snekdraw carried, but still close enough in style. My first attempt to pull myself together was a failure and quickly led me back to the washroom. The last thing I wanted to do was stay here with that thing. The second attempt to leave was far more successful. I was able to at least grab the knife this time before my senses got the best of me, after dealing with what little sense of sickness that remained in my gut. I planned to wash off my hands and the knife, but turning the tap just led to an inky black substance instead of the much desired water. When I turned it off and became acutely aware of the cracking sounds that seemed to permeate from every inch of the room. Quickly, I found out it wasn't just my room. The walls had gotten worse. The cracks in the hallway had only spread and now left huge gaps of exposed tissue. They're moving ever so slowly, enough to give the clear indication that it was breathing. Everything was tearing apart at the seams. It was becoming far too risky to stay inside now. Even if that just left me open to attack, it was better than being crushed if everything really did come crashing down. There's only one thought that pressed in my mind as I left the compound. The idea of Ken doing something like killing seemed hard to process. Sure, he was crude in every sense of the word, but it never seemed, let's say, aggressive. He was always the one trying to find gaps in the rules, things that could be used to escape. I guess that is a good way to sell that you're not working for the place. Always gives me a reason to want to see someone alone. Just like me. I doubt anyone else here could have questioned him if he asked for help trying to find something out. He was always at the forefront of stupid plans, dumb ideas. One main thing was becoming clear. It wasn't just the walls of the halls that were falling apart, it was everything. Even the sky was still changing from its constant orange shade to a dark purple. Air felt like it was drenched in desperation and panic. I know it's stupid to say it that way, but like everything else, I don't know a better way of putting it. It's like that feeling in a room when two people are mid-argument and everyone else is trying to smile and diffuse the situation. There's that silent tension that just floods the room. A different mood, sure, but it's the closest thing I can relate to how this place feels like. I suppose that's half the problem, isn't it? I know before I woke up here, I had at least a basic handle on existing. Now everything I used to know is true is pissed off and left me all alone with a bunch of magical assholes who I can't even remotely make sense of. Out the door and a few steps later, there he was, watching me, Ken. He sat at the bench, short walk outside, not even remotely bothered by the broken walkways or the exposed meat between it, just admiring the changes in sky, seeming like he didn't have a single care in the world. Eventually, Ken noticed I existed and tossed me a slight wave and a smile.
Even I have to admit, it's nice to see the sky change. Circumstances are trash, but you take what you can get. To be honest, I never expected you to show up first, much less covered in her blood. And here I figured you didn't have the nerve. Knew I should have given you more credit.
Kenneth, what the fuck is going on? What was the point of all this?
Great question. I'll give you this one. See, I've got a friend.
He stood up and lazily moved over to a chunk of exposed tissue on the now split ground, giving it a quick stomp before looking back at me.
He wants out of the void. And well, you throw enough bodies at a problem like that, and all kinds of doors open. Pretty annoying, though. Your friend in the mask cut down how many people we had to work with before the game even started. That's pretty fucking rude. He's out there flipping the table and stepping on the pieces before the game has even started. Now I actually need to kill you and him to get this over with. Always supposed to have a few extra bodies here and there, just to make sure you fighter types aren't a problem. Things don't ever work out easy, do they?
My eyes were drawn to the ground, then the trees, and eventually to the buildings. His friend? It was everything. These changes only just let us see what was under the skin. I couldn't even pull together a slight idea of the kind of shit this thing could get up to if it was back home. It all pointed to bad things. If the death that lined its attempted arrival was any sort of sign. You're going to let this thing out?
Yup. Always planned on using your corpse as a host after I got out. You were always able to keep up with my bullshit. Well, aside from the work side of things, but you're catching up on that now. I'd go for the freak show, sure, but the big man has his eyes on that one. God, but come on, man. Is this really how you want to go out? Brain slogged down by all this boring crap? Should go somewhere. Grab a final meal. Jerk one out. Light something on fire. I don't know. Something other than dramatic bullshit. At least go out with a smile, and not like a depressed sack of shit. I mean, that has pretty much already been your life, no offense.
How the fuck could that even be taken without offending? Nothing ever changes with you. You can't even consider the shit you're doing has consequences, just existing. To exist another day. I always fucking hated how casual you act about shit that actually mattered. You knew all of these people, and you still took part in this kind of shit. Really, Ken?
Like I said before, Eric, we all die sooner or later. This just happens to be what I was made to do. There wasn't ever a choice in the matter. So I'm just doing what I can with the hand I was dealt, and enjoying this pile of shit ride to oblivion. I mean, before, I planned on killing everyone quick-like. Honest. The freak just went and made things complicated. Always showing up uninvited. Couldn't do things loud. And he's such a shitty influence on you, too. God, if you just stayed out of this, I would have left you to die last. Nice and easy. But now that the other two are gone, I'll just have to do this here and now. Just know, Eric, as a friend, I'm not happy about doing this.
Despite what he said, that smile stretched across Kenneth's face, and just as he was about to step forward, a flash of light pierced through his chest, towards housing. Every inch of confidence faded from his face as the light ate away at him, unable to even scream, let alone move. Whatever caused that light, it came from one of the many trees that lined the roads, and it didn't take long for the masked man to jump down and make his appearance well known.
There is no reason to waste words on this vermin. After all, the beast cares not for the sorrows of its meal.
Snekdraw stood behind what little remained of Kenneth, eyes burning red. Strange objects floating on either side of his hands, glowing with that same light that was eating away at Ken. As he approached, I was able to figure out at least somewhat he held. It seemed like bone that had been carved into strange totems. Given the size of them, it was safe to assume they were made from bits of those monsters that he and I had killed. Another trick of his that I couldn't even begin to understand.
That thing does not deserve even the faintest dream of stopping this finale. The kindest gift I can offer it is this silent end and a swift trip to damnation. Knowing with absolute certainty that when faced with its demise, it was unable to even raise a finger, dying like a dog, just as it always deserved. Now, I hope you will forgive me for using you as a distraction, Eric. But it is time this ended.
The light in his hands grew, The reality that trapped us for so long shattered like glass against the Force. Everything was consumed by it. The wails of the now dying god of this place sent my brain into a chaotic mess. Senses were overwhelmed, flooded, but sounds and words that were impossible to connect to any sort of meaning. Just loud, overwhelming rambling. Perhaps with some sort of deeper meaning, but doomed to only come out as pointless screeches. A coming darkness took over when the light finally broke, offering a silent kindness. Real rest. Something I hadn't felt in a long, long time. I woke up in a hospital bed after that. Head throbbing. Everything else seemed normal. Even a glance outside the window showed a normal afternoon sky. I had no idea how much I missed seeing a blue sky and birds flying. It was nice to see things the way that they should be. No complex goals, just things being alive. Something so simple and stupid, but I missed that part of existence. After a quick glance around my room, I noticed that a letter was left on the table beside me. It was simple, lacking any sort of notable features. Somehow, it felt like it fit with who it was from.
Eric, I am sorry for being unable to visit in person. Unfortunately, I find myself consumed by far more paperwork than I'd like. It is frustrating that I could not save the others. The loss of temporary memory is a new trick in such games. A plan will be made to better manage a situation such as that. I will never allow this to be repeated. Unfortunately, it will all be reported as a mass suicide. You having been restrained and captured during the events. A victim that attempted to stop what happened. The blow to the head will sell any gap in memory or inconsistency. It is the only way to stop the grieving from throwing all of the blame on you. I wish there was a better solution, but even the suggestion of what occurred will sound like insanity to the uninvolved. I left you to fight a battle you were unprepared for. It granted me the time required to ensure every inch of it died, never to return from the madness that spawned it. Now, that does not make what you handled any less regretful. I had expected you to leave, or perhaps hide, when the trap was triggered. To see that you handled alone, it was unexpected. You deserved far more credit for that than mere words alone can express. The truth is complicated, and going forward will be difficult. The pity you will be given will not cleanse the pain that was forced upon you. No one will believe it was all anything more than a dream. So I offer you this. If the thoughts of the abyss are too hard to ignore, if you cannot simply move on knowing what exists beyond this, I have left a number on the back of this note. Consider it an invitation to a lucrative career. Your actions inside the belly of madness prove you are more than qualified. Even if you do not seek employment, someone with understanding of what you have faced will be able to speak with you. Perhaps that alone could offer some comfort. But do not fear returning to what you know. It is what you fought and survived for. It shouldn't be so quickly thrown away. There is a beauty to the safety of normality. Please consider that. In the end, only you are capable of choosing the path forward. Best regards, Snekdraw.
It's actually been real. No one else would pick that of all things for a fake name. not sure if I was happy about that. Just didn't feel like anything was won. But in the end, it would have been better. Knowing everything actually happened, the monsters are real. I want to be let in. Or that it was a dream, no one died, and I just completely and utterly lost my mind. The outcomes of both situations were shitty in their own unique way. I guess there is something to be said about having a solid answer, even if all that being real seems far worse the longer I think about it. Everyone that died, their families were to be left in ruin, doomed to never find answers to why their loved ones did it. I can't even tell them the truth. Just like the letter says, they'll never believe any of it. There's no way to make, hey, your loved ones were actually fed to some god wanting into our world sound like a convincing story. Instead, all they get is to blame themselves for not seeing the signs and cry over freshly dug graves. What do I do now? Try to go back to work, making shitty food, and pretend I didn't see and do what I did? That whole thing happened to me. What if something tried this when Snectral wasn't around? Are there really things on that level infesting this place, just hiding out of sight? Everything I know is off the table. Bring on the aliens, demons, goblins. I mean, at this point, anything could be real. My eyes were heavy, my mind was spinning. This kind of thing isn't helping. Still far too exhausted for anything more than rest right now. Getting bent out of shape over what does and doesn't exist isn't productive. I just need to breathe. For now, it was over. I sleep again. That's all I need to focus on. Take in what little comfort I can before I really need to figure out what to do next. The reality, or lack of it, could wait another day. Once I get things feeling normal, then I can start processing what everything that was thrown at me meant.